This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Support for African-American artists has been growing in North Carolina. You take the rise of the Art of Cool Music Festival in Durham or creation of black theater companies across the state as examples. But despite that growth, black artists still grapple with a limited number of platforms on which to spread their work, especially in the performing arts. In other words, the talent is growing, but the number of roles for African-Americans is not keeping up. So now a group of black artists is trying to bridge that gap with an upcoming forum that brings those artists together with local entrepreneurs and art lovers who want to create new modes of expression. The event is called the State of Black Arts Forum, Infusing Black Art in the Community. It starts tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on the campus of North Carolina Central University. And the hosts of the forum are with me today. Monet Noel Marshall is Artistic Director of Mojoa Performing Arts Company. Monet, welcome back to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also with us is Jamika Holloway-Burrell, Artistic Director of Black Ops Theater. Jamika, welcome.
Hey, Frank.
And Dasan Ahanu is co-founder of Black Poetry Theater. Welcome back, Dasan.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Jamika, tell us what you're hoping to achieve from this forum.
Many things, many things. One of the biggest things is networking and finding out who people are, what you want to bring to this community, mm-hmm. and how I, as an artist, can support you, because we definitely need to build a community for ourselves as black artists where we can count on one another. So I'm really interested in meeting people, greeting people, and finding out how I can be of service to you as an artist.
Monet, you have a successful theater company, an African-American dedicated to African-American theater mm-hmm. and performers. So you can talk at this forum about the challenges, but also the rewards of being in a position like that.
Absolutely. It has been successful in that we've been able to present works by local black playwrights and to use local black actors. But there is a challenge of space and resources and sponsorship and money. Money is an issue. And so that's another thing that we want to connect the business sector here with the artist sector, because arts is business and we want to treat it as such.
Dasan, tell us about it. I think another example would be the Black Poetry Theater. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the beginnings of that and its evolution.
Well, you know, I think it's sort of piggybacks on the idea of space, because, you know, we were kind of brought together by Lee Holmes, who was working with Alternative Perspective Theater and doing a lot of the productions at Man Bites. And so that was our first access to that venue. And, you know, we saw an opportunity to expand, you know, our reach and also to connect with new audiences. And so, but that's... So the idea of taking spoken word and putting it in a different environment, putting it on a different stage, and helping people to understand, you know, the beauty of that art form, was something that was important to us. And that's, you know, what led us to doing these original productions. But it was with the idea that there are spaces that we aren't normally present. And what does that mean to poets in the community, especially black poets, to have access to these spaces that they normally wouldn't be able to get to share their art in?
There's a way that we can think about art as that imaginative space where we can all come together. Mm-hmm. And yet it's also important, as you would say, to sort of highlight some of the challenges in what you would consider black art and black artists. Let's talk about that distinction. It seems like a fine distinction you have to make.
It is a fine distinction, because, you know, there is some, you know, some cognitive dissonance about what art means to people and where they tend to interact with it. And it oftentimes is cultural. And those barriers are not broken unless you have an experience that makes you feel comfortable crossing whatever your safe comfort zones are for how you interact with art. And it's especially true in the South. Because so much of the South is familial. You move and you go to the places that you're familiar with. You go to places that are recommended by friends. It doesn't matter how many posters or how many articles you see about it, unless someone you really know that says, let's try this out. And then there's another tier of people who are used to experiencing high culture. And they specifically go to certain places, your art gallery, some of the larger theaters. But as a young black artist, that is hard to grapple with. Right. It's hard to understand the landscape of all the possibilities and nuances of where art exists. And especially when you are an artist whose art is representative of not knowing how to navigate that.
Right.
You feel so, sort of self-conscious at times about presenting that in front of audiences, whether you're going to, you know, offend, whether you're going to be out of place, how you're going to be received. And so, I mean, there's space for those artists who've kind of gone through that gauntlet mm-hmm. to say, well, it's not as bad as you think. And there are ways to kind of, you know, move through this.
And Dasan is describing the challenges for artists, Jamaica. And I think this brings us to your idea for Black Ops Theater and the challenges for communities of color as audiences and how they perceive art and where are the safe spaces? Where do we go to consume art, to take art?
Absolutely. One of the things that I'm interested in doing with Black Ops is guerrilla theater, just popping up in neighborhoods who have not been introduced to theater and showing them what theater can be, because lots of times people think that it has to be inside of a theater with 400 seats in order for it to be theater. But no, right here on this sidewalk, as we express ourselves, this is what theater is, and it can be a ton of different things. So and Black artists are able to play an array of different characters. We don't have to be the drug dealer or the rapper. Our experiences extend way past that. So there's so much more we have to offer the world of theater. And I don't think those opportunities are as easily as accessed
right.
as they are to white people.
Yeah, well, so Monet, and that brings us to this other question of kind of what it means to be. I mean, let's talk about some classic theater, for instance. I mean, if we're talking about Shakespeare, for mm-hmm. instance, and we've got a Danish prince who we want to represent on the stage, we go to great expense to make it look like, you know, some antique period in Danish history. Mm-hmm. And then if the actor doesn't look Danish to us, I mean, what do we do about that?
That's the thing, and I think for a long time, the conversation has been, well, if we don't cast in the way that we normally see this character, then the audience won't receive it. But at the same time, we have shows about Peter Pan and people playing animals. And if we can believe that people can play animals and they can do all these other things, why is it so hard to believe that a person of color can't play a Danish prince?
Well, you know, British actor and black actor David Oyelowo was the first black actor in the Royal Shakespeare Company to play Henry VI, and he was asked about that recently on Fresh Air.
I remember reading an article in the Telegraph newspaper, which is a big newspaper in the UK, and an Oxford professor had said something like, "We open ourselves to ridicule when we allow black people to play English kings who clearly were not of African descent," or something like that. And, you know, which to my mind is a pretty nonsensical thing to say when, you know, I don't know a single Egyptian who's played Cleopatra in Antony and Cleopatra. You know, and up until not that long ago, you know, white actors were playing Othello in Shakespeare plays in the UK. So, you know, it sort of didn't hold any water, really. But like I say, the plays very quickly dulled all those voices.
David Oyelowo recently on Fresh Air. And I guess and part of what he's saying there is that if the actor's any good, pretty soon you're going to see a Danish prince on that stage, or in his case, Henry VI, right?
Right.
Absolutely. So often it's not about the talent and it's about the color. Your color always precedes you as a character. Never is it the cake decorator who just happens to be black. Right. It's always the black cake decorator. Mm-hmm. So the color always precedes the talent. And I think that has just been a hindrance for so many artists. And we are really looking forward to like putting our talent, this raw natural talent that so many people have, and they haven't even done a day in any training ground or any school, but there's just a talent that just naturally gets overlooked because of skin color, and it's unfortunate.
But we're not saying that we're colorblind yet, right, Dasan? I mean, that's not the same thing as saying, you know, why can't we get past this? We're living in a post-racial age. After all, we've got a black president, right? I mean,
yeah, no, we're definitely not doing
not saying that.
That yeah. I think it's by recognizing that we're not colorblind that, you know, pushing the envelope as artists, it opens the door for us to have some conversations and some, you know, to come to some new realizations and some new understandings. I think it broadens our ability to be able to process the things that are happening. Because if we were colorblind, what would the need for art be? Because most of us as artists are inspired by the lives we live and the nuances and the struggles and the things that we go through. And so you can't wipe that away and then expect to have great art.
Art is an artifact of culture. It is a thing that is born of culture. And so to say suddenly that art then obviates the need to talk about culture would be to deny its own genesis, it seems to me. So I think it's well put. And then it does leave this kind of question. I wonder, Monet, how you're going to approach this in the forum. What are the goals and who are the participants? What are some of the outcomes you'd like to see?
There are three main outcomes that I would love to see. One, I would love to see more connection of Black artists with other Black artists. I think that, you know, they say like 6 degrees of separation. Well, in the triangle, I believe it's maybe 2. Everyone is so closely knit, but we may not know each other. So that's one. Two, I want to connect Black artists specifically with our entrepreneurs and our business sector. The triangle, we are growing so rapidly, and there's so much money and business being pumped in, and I want to make sure that we're a part of it. And then three, I want our friends who we go and do shows with or might have drinks with after the show, our white artists and our white friends, to know that we want you to be a part of this too. We want you to be an ally in this. We want to create a way so that if you have an access point, maybe let's share it. Let's talk about what resources we can all collectively be a part of. So those are my three main outcomes that I would love to see from the forum.
How do you see it playing out in real terms? Is it by creating platforms and special spaces for African-American performance and art, and then also sort of paving the way for what we were talking about earlier? Let's open our minds to these roles as being played by great actors or performers who aren't playing stereotype roles. Is that something you see happening? And is there something, Dasan, let me put this question to you. Is there something about the Triangle, something about North Carolina perhaps, that makes this a better place to start that conversation?
I think so. Because we are a place that is full of transplants, and so it is sort of an inherent nature to North Carolina to blend tradition and natural born culture with new things. Whether it's the colleges, whether it's the research and banking, and whether it's, you know, all these nuances, natives have been blending with folks from all over the world for a long time, and blending cultures, blending understandings. And so I think that there is, if we can pull this off here, and it can lead to greater collaboration, and then of course greater artistic output, then it definitely is something that can be replicated anywhere else.
Monet, you've had experience with this, and I know you've talked with audiences and the various communities that you want to participate in this. What's some of the experience you've had putting on plays that address social issues, particularly in communities of color, African-American communities, attracting white audiences?
I think there is some difficulty, because I find that art for a long time can serve as a distraction or can serve as a safety net when you want to escape from your world. And if you're escaping from your 9-to-5 job and you're thinking about something to do on a Friday night, you may not want to go see the show on domestic violence, or you may not want to go see the show on slavery. But I think you may want to go see the Minion movie, which is fun. You may want to go do that. But I think that there is an importance to leaning into the uncomfortable conversations, because if we don't have them, how can we get past them? So I really charge people that if you are feeling any discomfort, just lean into it and come anyway.
And find out more about yourself. Jamaica, you've also found that, not just the themes, but the spaces themselves can cause discomfort, particularly in communities of color, places where we just don't want to go.
Yes, absolutely. And lots of people from Durham communities, typically from where I'm from, don't have access to all of the space, whether it be transportation or financial accessibility. So I think that's one of the other things that I'm really, really interested in doing, making things accessible. And sometimes that means coming out of your comfort zone of the theater to be inside of these communities. But another goal is to also get people out of their comfort zones, the audiences, the communities, to come to an actual theater, to get this feeling, and be prepared for what something to see something different, to see something different, because I think the one thing is just not seeing enough colored representation on the stages. And that is something that has held people back from even wanting to engage at all. So.
And audition. I mean, and it's a vicious cycle, right? I mean, yep. that's
absolutely.
Part of the issue.
Just not being confident in your chances of being cast. Lots of people, there are lots of different companies around here who have been successful doing all black seasons, but none of those companies are ran by African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's definitely another one of the challenges working with people who look like you,
right.
You know, and wanting to support those causes before you go outside of it.
How important is it this is being held at North Carolina Central? What is the role of historically black colleges and universities in promoting the black arts? Do you think there is a particular role here?
I do. I have very strong feelings about this. I went to North Carolina A&T and studied theater there, and I loved my time and I loved my training. I think that HBCUs have a certain responsibility to also promote new artists and new works so that those growing playwrights and those growing directors can then push further and cast those people that we're putting out of these programs. I feel very strongly.
Yes. And speaking as an Eagle, NCCU is my alma mater. There's a disconnect between the university and this vibrant theater hub that is growing in Durham. So I really want to bridge that, because this school definitely has so much to offer, especially coming out of the theater program. Brilliant minds, talented artists, but they just don't have that connection to the theater world that Duke students have. So bridging that gap, making them a part of this world so that they don't feel, you know, as alienated from what's happening here.
Yeah, well, we're not only are we not colorblind, but we're also not genre blind. And I wonder, in your case, Dasan, if you've noticed, when it comes to spoken word, are certain genres associated with, I mean, if I say country and western, and then if I say hip hop, or if I say spoken word, you saw what just happened to everybody.
Right.
Are these genres that are forever cast and locked in these kinds of color codes?
Well, just to a certain extent, yes. And you know, and when you're talking about performance poetry, it is, you know, for a while it was, you know, black and brown. And now it's becoming, you know, it's moving a little bit out of being black and brown, but it's becoming young. As if, you know, we haven't gotten older each year. And I think that there's an opportunity by presenting this art form within the theater that we can kind of bridge that. You get to see older artists, older poets, you know, presenting these works, and you get to see them. You get to see the connection to traditional forms and traditional norms. So, but yes, there are, you know, there are some perceptions that come with the genre.
Well, Monet, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a particular production that you have coming up that could make us all very uncomfortable and also illuminate and educate us all. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. So on September 19th, Mojoa is producing a presentation called Escape to Freedom. It's going to be an interactive piece on slavery. So the audience will go through as enslaved people at the Mordecai Historic Park, which is a actual plantation that's less than 5 miles from downtown Raleigh. And go through and meet the overseer and meet the missus and meet other enslaved people and hear actual WPA slave narratives that were taken from people who were enslaved on that plantation and then escape. And then afterwards, we're going to have a talk back, of course, because aftercare is important. and we're really excited about it.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Monet Noel Marshall is the artistic director of Mojoa Performing Arts. Jamaica Holloway Burrell is artistic director of Black Ops Theater. Dasan Ahanu is the founder of Black Poetry Theater. Thank all of you for being on the program. Today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The State of Black Arts Forum is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Ferris and Newton Building on the campus of North Carolina Central. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, author Tom Young talks about his latest novel, a military thriller called The Hunters. Stay with us.